The facts are hard to spin. Planned Parenthood's name and reputation are intertwined with abortion because it is the nation's largest abortion provider and promoter.
Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life, speaking at the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Despite cries that the group is under this huge funding attack and what are they going to do if all this money, tax money, is not available, and yet they brought in $1.6 billion. People associate Planned Parenthood with abortion because that's what it does. We can call it anything, but it's cold-blooded killing, the murder of unborn children. And calling it health care does not change that.
You can listen to Carol Tobias's presentation, Making the Case Against Planned Parenthood, on a recording from this year's Making the Case Conference. We'll send it to you along with a recording of 15 Advent and Christmas hymns for a year-end tax-deductible gift of $300. Order today at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Yesterday there was a National Public Radio story about, no pun intended, an aborted test of an abortion reversal drug. There's the abortion pill, and then there is a drug, it's just progesterone, that can reverse the effects, if given in a timely fashion, of the abortion pill. The story itself made it sound like the study was halted because women would be taken to the hospital after bad side effects, dangerous side effects, from the progesterone. That's what it sounded like. Is that true? Joining us to talk about this National Public Radio story, Dr. Donna Harrison. She's a board-certified obstetrician and gynecologist, and she's executive director of the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists. Dr. Harrison, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
Yesterday, National Public Radio posted a story about a study of abortion pill reversal. You say that the spin in the story is amazing. What do you mean?
Well, actually, if you look at what the abstract says, it actually shows that mifepristone, the abortion drug, is the dangerous drug, and that progesterone actually mitigates some of those dangers.
So the story, I read it, and for all the world, it made it sound like they had to stop this study because progesterone was causing hemorrhaging and all kinds of complications for this woman. You're saying the opposite is true?
I'm saying the opposite. I mean, if you look at what the study actually says, they only studied 10 patients. Five of them had progesterone, five of them didn't. In the group that had progesterone, one of them went to the emergency room but did not need surgery and did not need a transfusion. In the group that did not get progesterone, two of them went to the emergency room, both of them needed surgery, and one required a transfusion. So the group that didn't get the progesterone is the one that had the worst complications.
I have to ask cynically at this point whether or not this study was halted because it wasn't giving those paying for it the results that they wanted to see.
Well, you know, I wonder about that too, because if you actually look at another part of their results, again, they had two groups, five in each group. In the progesterone group, four of the five women had babies that continued to be alive after 2 weeks. But in the placebo group, that is the group that didn't get progesterone, only two of the women had living babies at 2 weeks. So the little results, and you can't make much of 10 patients, five in each group. You can't really make much, but from what little they have there, you got an 80% success rate in the progesterone group and a 40% success rate in the no progesterone group, success being continued pregnancy for 2 weeks. So I think it's not showing the results they want, and in fact, you got more complications in the group that didn't get progesterone than the group that did.
So in a nutshell and in layman's terms, what did this halted study tell us?
Well, the halted study tells us that mifepristone is a dangerous drug. Mifepristone is a drug that does lead to a large number of women bleeding and having to go to the emergency room and having to have emergency DNCs to complete, you know, an abortion that didn't complete. Progesterone works. Progesterone works to counteract those effects of mifepristone, and it works so well that it seems to me that's probably one of the reasons they halted the study.
So let's go back to the basics here. Tell us how the abortion pill, mifepristone, works and what progesterone does to reverse its effects.
Yeah. Okay, so mifepristone works by blocking part of the cell called the progesterone receptor. It's on the nucleus. And progesterone acts kind of like a key in your car. You know when you put your key in your ignition and you turn it and the engine turns on? Well, that's like progesterone getting in its receptor and turning on the effects of progesterone, which is to make a woman be able to carry a pregnancy. Mifepristone is like a key that almost fits, but gets in, and it won't turn the ignition on, and it won't do anything. So when mifepristone is in there, it blocks progesterone from being able to get in. But this is reversible. So the mifepristone will bind to the receptor but come off and bind and come off. So if you have enough progesterone around, then progesterone can get into that receptor before mifepristone does. And it can knock mifepristone off the receptor. So it can actually reverse the effects of mifepristone if it's given soon enough after a woman takes mifepristone. So she has to take it within 72 hours in order for her to be able to stop the blockage that mifepristone has on the progesterone receptor.
Does mifepristone as a drug have another legitimate medical application?
Well, they're trying hard to find other legitimate medical applications. There have been some experimental studies looking at mifepristone to treat cancer, and as far as I know, those studies have been very marginally effective, if at all, and there's questions about other dangers in those studies. But the biggest thing that mifepristone does is it kills babies, and that's why it's on the market. And so the manufacturer would love to find another reason to keep mifepristone on the market, but so far, you know, other than its use in treating some cancers not very effectively, there really isn't much else that mifepristone can do. Now, some people have been using mifepristone for spontaneous abortions, but that actually doesn't make any sense, because in a spontaneous abortion, the woman's progesterone is already decreasing because the baby's died. So it doesn't really make a lot of sense to have mifepristone there. So, you know, the manufacturer is always looking for other reasons to keep mifepristone on the market. It's a really dangerous drug, and it really should be pulled from the market.
Is it safe to say that mifepristone is a drug that has been designed to do exactly how it's being applied in chemical abortions? It's not something that, well, we found it is really useful to do this, but then it also happens to serve as a dandy abortifacient.
No, mifepristone was developed in order to kill babies. Mifepristone was developed so that the abortionist would have less need to interact with the patient. He or she could just give him the drug, and then, you know, if she has a problem, she goes to the ER. It's the ideal drug for the abortionist. It's not the ideal drug for a woman. Even a woman who wants an abortion, she's going to face increased risks of bleeding, increased risks of infection. The bleeding goes on for 10 days, 2 weeks. I mean, it's not a good drug.
Let's go back to the report in some detail. The report says, and I'm quoting, among the remaining 10 patients, 5 per group, gestational cardiac activity continued for 2 weeks in 4 of the progesterone group and in 2 of the placebo group. 1 patient in the placebo group had no gestational cardiac activity 3 days after mifepristone use. Explain that to us in layman's terms.
Sure. Gestational cardiac activity is a heartbeat, but the abortionists don't want to call a heartbeat a heartbeat, so they call it gestational cardiac activity, which is, it's kind of remarkable. So what they're saying is that in the 5 women who got progesterone, 4 of them had a living baby at 2 weeks. And in the women that didn't get progesterone, they just got mifepristone, 2 of them had a living baby at 2 weeks. 1 patient in the group that got no progesterone, the baby died 3 days after mifepristone. That's what that's saying.
Dr. Donna Harrison is our guest. She's executive director of the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists. We're talking about a national public radio story about the testing of an abortion reversal drug. When we come back, the report also talks about the complications, the hemorrhage. Now, the language, again, is very technical. We'll have Dr. Harrison explain it to us.
Defending Life from Beginning to End. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues, Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
Do you need a rest from the world's headlong rush to Christmas? Someplace where you and your family can slow down and prepare for Christ's birth at the church's rather than the world's pace? A midweek evening Advent service is the perfect time for your first visit to a Christ-centered, cross-focused Lutheran church. Learn more on the Find a Church page at issuesetc.org or send an email to talkback@issuesetc.org.
We're discussing a National Public Radio story about the testing of an abortion reversal drug with Dr. Donna Harrison of the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. You can help us defend life from beginning to end by making a year-end tax-deductible donation. No gift is too small. With 25 days left in 2019, we're $112,000 short of expenses. You can make a year-end contribution by check. Make your check payable to Issues, Etc. Send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a tax-deductible donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of Issues, Etc. at the end of the year. Dr. Harrison, back to the report again. It also says this about the complications. I need you to explain it to us. Severe hemorrhage required ambulance transport to hospital occurred in three patients. One received progesterone, complete expulsion, no aspiration. Two received placebo, aspiration for both. One required transfusion. Please explain that in layman's terms.
Sure. So in the group that got progesterone, there was one patient that started heavy bleeding. She was taken to the hospital, but she passed her baby and placenta, and she didn't need any further care. There was no need for surgery. In the group of women that did not get progesterone, two of them had heavy bleeding. When they got to the hospital, both of them needed an emergency DNC, an emergency surgery, and one of them had to be transfused. So the group that got progesterone, the woman who had bleeding didn't have to have emergency surgery. And in the group that didn't get progesterone, two of them had to have emergency surgery and one required transfusion. So it's very clear that the reason for the heavy bleeding is the mifepristone. And the reason that the one woman who got progesterone didn't have to have surgery was because the progesterone counteracted the effects of the mifepristone. It's the mifepristone that caused bleeding. It isn't the progesterone.
What have other studies told us about the activity of mifepristone?
Well, it's very interesting. After the four women in California died back in 2006, there was a meeting of the Center for Disease Control and the FDA, and they looked at how does mifepristone work, and it turns out that mifepristone suppresses the woman's immune system, and that's why those women died. They died of overwhelming infection. Mifepristone also can interfere with the ability of the uterus to stop bleeding because it interferes with platelets, and it interferes with the uterus itself being able to clamp down enough to cause the arteries to stop bleeding. So mifepristone is clearly at fault for this heavy, heavy bleeding. Not only that, the second drug, misoprostol, that's taken, you know, to complete the mifepristone abortion, the second drug also can suppress the immune system. So mifepristone can suppress your immune system and can cause you to bleed like crazy. And in fact, we're right now looking at about 4,900 adverse event reports that have been submitted to the FDA, most of which involve huge amounts of bleeding from women who have taken the abortion drug.
This is just a recipe for a hospital visit, if not worse, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, there's this push to make mifepristone over-the-counter, and unfortunately in California, they're giving out mifepristone on college campuses with no medical supervision. And what happens when these women bleed? And what's even worse is that the symptoms of a mifepristone abortion, that massive bleeding, the abdominal pain, the cramping, that's exactly the same symptoms as when you have an ectopic pregnancy that's rupturing. And several women have died from ruptured ectopic pregnancies because mifepristone doesn't treat an ectopic pregnancy. Several women have died from ruptured ectopic pregnancies because they thought that their symptoms of pain and bleeding were just normal part of the mifepristone drug-induced abortion.
How can such a dangerous drug be marketed directly to pregnant women?
Well, that is an outstanding question, and I am wondering where the political will is at the FDA in this administration to take this dangerous drug off the market. It should never have been approved in the first place. And not only to approve it, but then right now there's a lawsuit from the usual suspects, you know, the ACLU, trying to force the FDA to allow this drug to be over-the-counter, to allow this drug to be given out at pharmacies, to allow this drug to be given out online without any medical supervision. And the only person that benefits from that is the manufacturer of the drug, which is Danco Pharmaceuticals. That's the only person that's going to benefit. Women are going to be hurt. They're going to be dying. They're going to be bleeding. They're going to be infected. And who's going to care for them? It's not Danco, because they just dumped their complications on the emergency room. You know, it's really a bad situation.
If someone watches any kind of television, in particular television aimed at people of my age, senior citizens, there are a lot of drug commercials for every malady under the sun. And those commercials usually have kind of a somewhat humorous, softly spoken warning about all of the terrible complications that may, even in the most implausible ways, affect you if you take this drug. And they say things, do not take this drug when, do not take this drug when. Does mifepristone come with any kind of warning on it about these very common and in some cases dangerous complications?
Well, the only information that women get is the information that their abortionist gives them. So it depends on the abortionist how much information they're given. And most of the time, if you look online at ads for Mifeprex, and there's 76 different websites where a person can order Mifeprex online without any kind of medical intervention. They say things like, this is safe, there's no complications, effective 100% of the time. It's all lies. And the question is, who is going to shut that stuff down? Right now, the FDA has told one of those online companies, Aid Access, that they have to cease and desist. And Aid Access has then taken the FDA to court to say that the FDA doesn't have any right to regulate drugs in this country. And Aid Access is coming from overseas. I mean, it's ridiculous what's going on in the courts right now. And the courts are deciding things that the FDA actually has jurisdiction over. So it's really kind of a crazy situation.
How do you explain that in an otherwise kind of surprisingly pro-life administration right now, we have very little to no activity with regard to what is not only a danger to women now, but with the increasing frequency of medical abortions, an increasing danger to women?
Well, I think that the FDA needs to stand up and take its responsibility seriously for overseeing the safety of drugs in this country. And one of the best ways that they can do that is to take a really good look at what's going on with Mifeprex and to fight the ACLU to not only keep the current what's called REMS, which is a way of the FDA being able to put some restrictions on a drug after it's marketed. They have to not only keep the REMS, they have to strengthen it. And the best thing the FDA could do is pull this dangerous drug from the market.
Abortion clinics, as you mentioned before, at least in some states, are currently giving out more and more doses of mifepristone. Many of the women, we must be honest, taking that route want to keep their at-home abortion as quiet as possible. Could this scenario discourage women from seeking medical treatment after a mifepristone abortion?
Well, you know what's happening is a lot of abortion clinics are telling women if they have a complication to go to the ER and lie to the ER doctors and tell the ER doctors they're having a spontaneous miscarriage. That's a dangerous thing to do because spontaneous miscarriages are not accompanied by the kind of immune suppression that you get from Mifeprex, and they're not accompanied by the massive hemorrhage that you see with Mifeprex. So these women who are lying to their doctors in the emergency room are taking their own life in their hands, and it's really irresponsible for the abortion clinics to tell women, oh, just lie to the ER doctor when you have a complication.
What would it take to get the FDA to pull Mifeprexone?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. Maybe we could get somebody from the FDA to say what it would take for the FDA to pull Mifeprexone. I mean, is it that the complications and the harms to women haven't piled up high enough? They've got 5,000 adverse event reports, at least, maybe more by now, because these were only until 2016. 5,000 women who've been hemorrhaging, who've been infected, some have died. You've got 24 deaths, I think, so far, of normal, healthy women who were healthy and walking around until they took Mifeprex, and now they're dead. I mean, what does it take for the FDA to act? I don't know.
So when someone comes across this story from National Public Radio that very much makes it sound like they were going to study this abortion reversal pill, the progesterone dose, and the women suddenly all had to go to the hospital because they had taken it, how would you, in the simplest terms, explain to them what really happened?
Well, what really happened is that the women who went to the hospital and had to have emergency surgery and a transfusion are the ones who did not get the progesterone. The woman who bled and had the progesterone didn't have to have surgery and didn't have to have a transfusion. So the study actually proves exactly the opposite of what NPR is saying.
I know you can't give out medical advice on the air, but to a woman who has taken Mifepristone and says, I want this to stop, I've changed my mind, what should she do?
She should call the abortion reversal hotline. So it's the APR hotline. She can find it online. And boy, if I was thinking, I would have had the number ready. But if you go to Abortion Pill Rescue or Abortion Pill Reversal, you'll find that number. She should call it as soon as possible. There's 900 doctors across the country willing to evaluate her and see if she is a candidate to see if they can give her the progesterone. So she can't have taken the progesterone more than 72 hours in advance. But she should call as soon as possible because time is of the essence to get progesterone.
Dr. Harrison, is this a problem that is going to somehow go away with the increased marketing of Mifepristone and perhaps even in the future, the over-the-counter marketing of the drug?
No, it's not going to go away. It's going to get worse. And you're going to see a large number of women who are presenting to the ER, hemorrhaging, and some with infection, and some who die because the ectopic pregnancy that wasn't diagnosed before they got the Mifepristone ruptures. So it's really going to be a bad situation, especially for women who don't realize this is a very dangerous drug.
Finally, a woman has been advised by a doctor at an abortion clinic or someone else, someone on campus in California, that this is the safe and easy way to end her pregnancy and move on with her life. What would you say to such a woman right now?
What I'd say to her is, you know, the pregnancy is a new opportunity. You've got a human being inside you who loves you, who depends on you. It can be a wonderful new life to give new life into the world. And I would encourage her not to abort. And so Mifepristone is not the easy solution. It doesn't make you unpregnant. See, once you're pregnant, you're a mom. And you'll either be the mom of a living baby or you'll be the mom of a dead baby. And so why not give life?
Dr. Donna Harrison is a board-certified obstetrician and gynecologist and executive director of the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists. Dr. Harrison, thank you very much for your time and keep up the good work.
Thanks, Todd. Thanks for having me on.
Well, Paul Reed is the pastor of Audacious Church. He recently preached a sermon based on the movie Home Alone. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. When we come back with Pastor Chris Roseboro, we'll listen to some of that sermon and hear what Chris has to say. If you're looking for a Christmas gift for a child, grandchild, or godchild ages 2 through 7, Purchase the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for December, Angel, Angel, What Do You See? Follow Mary and Joseph, the donkey, the innkeeper, and the shepherds to discover that this special baby is the Savior, born for you and me. Learn more about Angel, Angel, What Do You See? By calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or at issuesetc.org. Angel, Angel, What Do You See?
The Simply Classical curriculum for special needs moves at my child's pace and gives her exactly what she needs. So writes Amber, a homeschooling mother who has joined thousands in homes and schools teaching from this uniquely Christian classical approach to special education. Teach students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome based on ability level rather than chronological age. Use promo code LPR20 today at classicalspecialneeds.com. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you want your neighbors and community to see what you're celebrating this Christmas season? Why not display an outdoor nativity in front of your home or your church? It's a great way to show others what Christmas is all about, the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. Check out the Outdoor Nativity Store at outdoornativitystore.com. Durable, affordable, and American-made nativities, OutdoorNativityStore.com. OutdoorNativityStore.com.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll study Jesus healing a paralytic on the Sabbath, Jesus asserts his equality with God, Jesus raises the dead and judges, the witness to Jesus, and Jesus tells us to search the Scriptures. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, as we continue our walk through St. John's Gospel on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org, thewordendures.org.